Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us today, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And we're very pleased to have with us today Bobby Comer, who is the director of York County, York County's, thank you very much, Animal Shelter. They call it shelter. Animal control, is it not?
Yeah, well, animal control encompasses the field services and the shelter.
All right. So. Anyway, we'll call it animal control. That makes it work. All right. So, Bobby, thanks for being with us. Mm-hmm. Just since it's been a while, how about a little refresher course on Bobby?
Well, I originally was a volunteer that became extremely involved in the shelter and how it ran, and tried to put some changes into effect through our volunteer program to save as many animals as possible. And because of that, eventually became the director.
You did too good a job as a volunteer. And you've had that job now for about 3 years?
Yeah, almost 3 years, yep.
So I think it would be interesting to throw out a few numbers in terms of how many pets you are dealing with either on a monthly or annual basis.
Okay. At the, so this year, this past year, because of COVID, obviously we were shut down for a few months. And so our numbers were slightly lower than normal. We had about 3,000 animals last year, which is still a pretty large number. During our peak season, which is we're about to start on that, we will at any day have approximately 300 to 340 animals in the shelter at a time.
Now, these are animals that, what, that are picked up on the street? Do people drop them off?
It is a combination. It is mostly stray animals that come in. They are picked up off the street, running stray. Someone wants to help them out. A citizen brings them to the shelter for a safe place. Some are animals that are surrendered by owners that may otherwise be moving or have come upon some challenges in life and don't have another option for them. And then also our officers are actively out enforcing the laws and ordinances of York County and saving animals daily. And so we do hold animals for some court cases that are related to cruelty.
Which is a whole nother story, which we'll get into here in a minute. So with the county's growth, which has been tremendous in the last few years, when you look at these numbers, I mean, you've been involved with this, with the animal control for a long time now. I would think that the numbers of animals is growing kind of like the population grows.
Yeah, the number of animals is directly correlated to the number of households in any county. There are some actual algorithms that you can put in place through national statistics and determine approximately how many animals are in your county. And so you would average about every household has approximately 1.7 dogs. And then they also, some of them have, they give a number for cats also. And so if we, it's supposed to be approximately 2.3 cats per household.
Whew. My. That's surprising. You're saying there's more, on an average, there's more cats per household than there are dogs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That shocks me. That really shocks me.
Well, they're smaller. They're easier to hide in the bed.
Yeah. I got you. So the shelter itself has been around, I'd lost track of this, has been operational for 15 years.
At its current location,
At its current location. And yet you've had all this growth. So how does that factor into your ability to handle the growth in the number of animals that you obviously have had over that period of time? I mean, I know it was built with some future projections in mind, but are you maxed out?
I think that's one way to describe it. I don't think anyone anticipated the growth that we would see in York County at the rate we have. The shelter, when it was built, was obviously premier standard at the time. Everyone, and it's a great facility. However, the growth rate in York County has been astounding. And so because of that, we haven't really had any additions or changes. And with that becomes the increase in the amount of animals served.
So how are you dealing with that? I mean, you one of the things that you have brought into being is that the animal control facility in York has become a no-kill shelter. Is that correct?
Statistically, yes.
Okay. And you better explain that when you mean sounds like it's some spin there. Go ahead.
So there are many ways that it is no-kill is determined. It kind of depends on the perspective you look at it. A lot of people associate no-kill with no euthanasia at all, and that is not actually what it means. What it means is that you are only euthanizing if it is necessary. That includes humane euthanasias for medical reasons. Think of hit by cars or old age sickness where they're deteriorating and it's the humane quality of life. Same thing you would do with your own pet. The other thing is behaviorally, if you have an animal that comes in that might be extremely aggressive, that is not safe to put out into the community, that is also part of a humane euthanasia. Those currently are the only reasons that we euthanize at our shelter. And it's a humane euthanasia. And so because of that, we are considered by standards no kill. Now, at any point in time, because we are a county shelter, if we were flooded with 100 animals tomorrow, we'd have to make some decisions based on space because we are constantly at capacity. We hope that never happens, but somehow we have an amazing staff. We have amazing support from our management above us that at this time we've been able to sustain a no-kill status.
Constantly at capacity.
Constantly at capacity, yes.
So your capacity is what?
How many animals we can care for in the building.
Which is?
At this time, so we have 72 dog kennels. Right now, we have, I think when I walked through this morning, we had two that didn't have dogs in it. That will be full by the end of the day. So there is a constant door that we work on revolving through and finding places for these animals to go through. The majority of our animals do leave through our rescue partnerships in different areas where they don't have overpopulation issues.
So these would be... what, rescue operations throughout this area?
Most of them are in the Northeast. Yes.
So how do we get the dog from here to there?
There are professional transports, and the rescues pay for that. They incur all the costs of the vetting and the transport of those animals, and their mission is just to save lives. And so, for example, right now, someone contacted me from Maine yesterday. They don't have one animal in a giant shelter. And so they are saying, hey, what kind of animals do you have available for partnership? And so we toggle between getting animals there as quickly as possible and then animals that we have within our facility that are there for a length of stay that they can be fully vetted, we make available to the public for adoption.
So if anybody wants to know what you have available, you have a website and you put all the information with the pictures and everything there,
yes.
Do you not?
Yes. The problem is that we inherently have is because of the volume of people in our county, the animals are coming in faster than we can fully vet them to get them always available for adoption. So what we also do behind the scenes is we're networking those animals constantly to see if some of these groups can take animals pre-vetted where we haven't invested them to make them available for adoption for the county. If we didn't do this, then ultimately we would be faced with some heavy decisions, and we don't want to do that. We're in this business to save lives and to save animals.
So when you get an animal, let's say a dog, and you get them ready for adoption, what is encompassed with that?
So the first thing they do is they are on hold for, and part of that hold is if it's a stray animal to give the owner the right to find their animal because we know accidents happen where they slip outdoors. And so there is this whole period that also gives us a time to evaluate the animal's initial behavior with people. After that quarantine period for medical and for behavior, they then go into an evaluation period. And that is where they are evaluated by staff that's trained to see how they get along with other animals and people in different situations. And then they are also medically tested for things like heartworm disease for dogs. We're looking at feline AIDS for cats. and we're going to see if they have any contagious diseases that they might need treatment for prior to placement. If they do, they are going to become available for rescue only for those animals to go to a special place that can provide that treatment. And if not, then they're channeled to adoption. At that point, we have them lined up to be vetted in the facility, spayed and neutered, and provided all their vaccines. Once we get them through that channel, then they are placed up for adoption. So that's, it's a timely process, but we want to make sure we do the right thing.
Well, it's not only timely, but you've got some cost involved with that, do you not?
Yes, there is some cost involved with that, which is why the best alternative is obviously rescue placement, where they can pull them out and take them as soon as, you know, they come off hold and come in. But we also have an adoption fee that offsets some of that vetting. Okay. And there are fees. We do offer owner surrenders to the community, but that is an additional service we provide. So there is a fee when you drop off that animal that covers the initial vetting. So we do have some offset to that that helps stabilize that.
And true or false, no animal leaves your shelter unless it has been neutered?
For adoption, that
yes.
is correct to the citizen. Rescues have a partnership agreement with us where, because they have to, may have to provide medical care first, that it might not be safe to spay or neuter it. So they sign a contract with us that says as soon as that animal is healthy enough, they will provide spay and neuter before they adopt it out. So it's still within our parameters.
It's amazing. So, as you say, we're at capacity all the time. We're a revolving door.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got your staff basically on the phone all the time saying, we've got this, we got that, can you take this, can you take that, how are we going to get the dog or cat delivered from here to there? I mean, it's
and
almost like going
knocking
to,
with more.
It's like going to an airport. I mean,
it keeps you busy. It does. It's an exciting job.
I'll tell you what. So at this past, wasn't this past weekend, but the weekend before,
mm-hmm.
When the York County Council had their annual retreat, one of many, 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 many topics was animal control. One of the things that came up was the need to establish some type of a facility in the eastern part of the county where most of the population is.
Right.
So that more of the available animals could get adopted, which is a lot less, which is the ultimate goal, to get them into homes.
That is right.
And get them out of cages.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you tell me about this?
So one thing we found in examining what's going on in our county as far as our adoption rates compared to other counties is that a lot of times facilities are located in the hub of where the population is. Our facility is located in the centralized location of the county, but that is not where the hub of the population is. And so because of that, people that are in those parts of the county are finding it more accessible to actually go up to Charlotte and other areas to get animals. Some go over to Lancaster because that's just closer for them than to come over to our facility. And so we want to reach those people and say, hey, we have some wonderful animals also, and make that easier for our citizens to access.
So if you could wave a magic wand, where would you recommend that this facility be? Would it be in Fort Mill, Tega Cay, Rock Hill? What?
Somewhere towards Tega Cay, Fort Mill area, close to 77, so it's in a nice proximity to most of our citizens.
Right. Everybody wants to be along the interstate.
Right. Everyone wants to be close to the interstate. So ideally, if I had the magic wand, that's where I would put it.
So you obviously have been talking to the administration about this need.
Mm-hmm.
Something needs to be done. And apparently, they're understanding what you're telling them.
Yes, absolutely. They're very supportive.
And when you take a look at dollars and cents, this would, if you can get more animals out, that means you need less of a facility to take care of those that are coming in.
Or at least our facility could keep up with the demand.
There you go. There you go.
I think that's essentially what it is it's become not so much that it would lessen the strain on the other facility, as we would still need that to meet the needs.
Yeah.
We're at a point where we can't meet the need because we don't have enough space. So we're having to be creative and beg to get these animals different places right now.
Now, another thing that came up in that same meeting, mm-hmm. on the same topic, was not only the need to have a place which is more centralized to where the population is,
mm-hmm.
but also staffing. That it's apparent that you need help to deal with this growing number of animals that are coming in and out of your facility.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. We definitely could use some more staff.
Yeah.
Everyone wants more staff, don't they?
Sure. But, I mean, you've done, I mean, I'm sure the administration's done as well. If you take a look at some comparisons,
mm-hmm.
your county, with the numbers of animals that we have versus comparable communities, the numbers of staff that we have to do this, you need some help.
We do, and I think management realizes that. They have paid some recent visits to animal control, and I think they quickly see how large the facility is, what kind of animals we're dealing with, and that we do need some more staff support.
And your staff is doing, I mean, it's just a whole, we've just talked about part of it, which is picking up the phone and trying to cycle these animals to other places if you can't hold them. But then you have just the maintenance of the animals themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which means?
It's feeding, it's caring for them, and it's making sure they have a humane quality of life while they're with us. And that includes what some people don't think about is socialization. And part of that is provided through our volunteer program, where the volunteers come in daily and work with the animals. But it also involves, after the volunteers leave, that the animals aren't stuck in their kennels the rest of the day. So staff has to become actively involved with that also.
So how do you handle, I mean, you got 70-some kennels.
Of dogs,
yes. Dog,
and then there's
dog.
There's another 164 of cats.
Okay. So let's just take the easy one, the dogs.
Okay.
You have a large area behind the shelter where you make
yes.
your exercise or
and
whatever?
This is something I might be one of the items I'm most proud of. When I came on board, we applied through the council approved for me to apply for a grant through an organization called Dogs Playing for Life. And we had trainers come in and they actually trained our staff on how to do dog play groups, where you get to assess their behavior and also provide them enrichment for the day. And we saw, as soon as we implemented that, we immediately saw a decrease in some of reactive behaviors we were seeing with the animals. So they were getting natural socialization, and they would come back into their kennel instead of being angst from stuck behind bars all day. They were exhausted and just falling over into their blanket like a good run. Like you just had a nice run, and you're like, I can rest now.
Yeah, and these kennels are not very big. I mean,
no, they're not. They're not ideal for any pet. You know, we really, ideally, they're in a home. But yes, it would. Ideally, we want them.
So, in a 24-hour period,
mm-hmm.
pick a dog. The mm-hmm. dog is going to be able to go out and run and socialize. What, an hour a day, 2 hours a day?
So usually the volunteers do a 10 to 20 minute walk with them.
Right.
And then if they get to go out to play group too, if we have enough staff to do play group that day, we try to do it about 2 to 3 days a week. That will give them another 30 minutes outside.
Oh boy. That's a lot of time in a cage, isn't it? It's a lot of time in a cage. All right. We're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And, of course, we prepare nothing but fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. There is a magical way that we do it. Most people know it. And we're going to tell you anyway, just remind you what it's all about. At the count of three, we're going to say it together. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, 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 garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Charlie, what's new with Substation 2?
That's easy. We're bringing back our delicious corned beef sandwich. It's lean, perfectly seasoned, sliced fresh to order, and garden just the way you like.
Don't miss this limited time offer at Substation 2.
Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Introducing the new Stream TV from Comporium. Stream TV is cutting-edge entertainment that fits the way you live today. Watch your favorite movies and shows anytime, anywhere. No set-top box required. Pause, restart, or replay live TV up to 3 days later. And carry a world of entertainment in your pocket with cloud DVR. Stream TV is TV set free. No wires, no boxes. Learn more online at Comporium.com or call 888-403-2667.
My concern is let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke, those things that are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Bobby Comer is with us today. She's the director of the York County Animal Control, and a job she's had for about 3 years. And just like everything else in York County, the numbers of animals she's dealing with is growing and growing and growing and growing as our population is growing and growing and growing and growing. So, one of the things that we were talking about, how the your shelter basically is at capacity most of the times. I didn't realize that you also have to deal with animals involved in court cases.
Well, that was, related to the cruelty that, you know, we talked about earlier. So if any of the animals are seized or confiscated through the sheriff's department or local law enforcement, while that case is pending, we hold the animals for those cases.
Is that how is that happening a lot? Cruelty to animals. I mean,
I think it's on a wider scale than people realize that it does happen. And I think, you know, also the fact that enforcement is happening brings it to light when you see the news.
Now, when we talk about enforcement, you have how many people and trucks out looking or assisting in bringing animals in?
So we have six officers.
Six? Wow.
Yeah, for our county.
And they're responding to calls for stray dogs, cats, whatever, or are they just kind of circulating throughout the area and looking?
So we prioritize our calls based on they come in. Obviously, cruelty charges and things like that that come in for investigations are higher priority.
Right.
The highest priority is actively aggressive animals. So we're going to dispatch an officer immediately if an animal is actively attacking or if there is an animal that's hit by a car that's injured. And then we go into cases such as no shelter, no water, no food, items like that. So that is actually the majority of our calls are those types of calls. Stray calls are actually a smaller section of calls for us.
So these are people in the community who can see what their neighbors are doing.
Or they drive by a house and see something they're concerned about. They can call it in, and then we'll go out and check and see if it's found it or not.
My.
Yes.
All right, so you've got a couple of things going on. One of them you referenced earlier in the show You were shut down during COVID, for a few months, which meant what? You weren't taking any animals in at that time?
We were responding emergency response at that time. So we were going and caring for the animals we have, but we weren't actively doing our supplementary programs. And that are programs like our owner surrender and our extra programs, our trapping for cats, the TNR program. We suspended those non-required programs and focused on emergency services because we went down to less staff a lot of the time. And so we could only provide so much services. So we decided at this time that we could only focus on when we were looking at aggressive animals and injured animals with the majority of what we were taking in.
Golly, day. All right, so you got a couple of interesting initiatives going on up there. You've got a free spay and neuter clinic that you're doing.
We are partnered with Animal Allies, which is in Spartanburg. And so at this time, what we're doing is we have been able to work with our volunteer group to raise funding. And we have been going for once a month, which I think is pretty good. It's around 25 animals a month for the public. And we set up a date. We put it out on our social media. And people can call in when we advertise. And they sign up. And it's completely free. All they have to do is arrive with their animal. A little van comes, picks them all up, takes them to the clinic, and brings them back at the end of the day. It's for York County citizens.
No kidding.
Yeah. When COVID occurred, it provided a lot of challenges for citizens, especially economically. And so we were looking at ways that we could support our community better. And the fact that we deal with overpopulation on such a high scale here, it kind of coincided. Why couldn't we provide free spay and neuter? And so we are.
So when you say free, does that mean that your department is paying to have this done, or is this an organization of some kind that's doing
this?
So
we are fundraising through our volunteer group fundraising, and also we are getting donations into the shelter, and so we're filtering some of the donation funds to possibly provide this in the future so we can continue
So now a food pantry is another thing that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how this works.
So that was another challenge that we saw for the community. What that entails is it serves as a temporary supplement for people. We're obviously not attempting to completely pay for everyone to keep animals at their home. But what we want to do is when someone falls on a hardship, that they have access to supply of food. And so we're doing, a citizen can come in, show us their license. The animal must be spayed or neutered. And if not, we have access to free spay or neuter. And then we provide them a large bag of food for the month, and they can do this for up to 6 months.
Jeez. Wow.
So that's a pretty substantial, provision.
All right. You also have spoken in and out about how important volunteers are to what you are doing. How many volunteers do you have in the course of a week or a month? However you...
So right now it is drastically dropped because of COVID-related matters. So we probably get in about 10 dog volunteers a week. We used to get 20 to 30. And so we are always in need of more volunteers. If anyone's interested in volunteering, they can go to the yorkcountygov.com website. And if they go under the Animal Control Department, there is a link on the left side to fill out a volunteer application. And what we are doing is once or twice a month, we're holding a small orientation, so it's not a large group of people together, but we're doing a small, respectfully distanced orientation, and then people can start from there to help volunteering.
But volunteers, generally speaking, are critical to what you're doing.
Absolutely, yes. Definitely need volunteers. They're what makes the difference in the lives of the animals, because the staff is supporting the basic structure of feed and care and serving the public. And as we talked about earlier, the public is constantly at the door needing our services. We rely on those volunteers to provide the more humane quality of life as far as enrichment for them.
Well, Bobby Comer, thank you for everything that you're doing as the head of York County's Animal Control. It's quite a job, quite a challenge. We'll look forward to hearing about what's going to happen in the eastern part of the county to get this adoption center.
I'm excited also.
That'll be nice. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Mille Lacs, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week right here at Substation 2. The magical way it's done. Everybody knows it, but we're going to remind those that don't know. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Slice.
Garden.
Not bad. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.